You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, if you find yourself driving outside of the ordinarily overly broad range of our AM-FM capability here at WVNN, just know that, I mean, basically you're getting outside of South Tennessee, North Alabama at that point. But just know that no matter where you go, you can take us with you. It's pretty easy. We got literally, by the way, Copper, we hit well over 13,000 downloads now. Just in the last 48 hours, we went up by like almost 500 more downloads. Yes. And so, there are people all over that take part in our show, like by downloading it in podcast form, or they just go to the website and click on Listen Live. And like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. Just go to rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org, and you can follow the show no matter where you are in the world. And if you're traveling for Thanksgiving, you might want to do that. All right. Hey, listen, I'm going to bring a friend of mine on. The director of fiscal analysis at the Alabama Policy Institute is my friend Justin Bogey. Justin used to work in Montgomery with the Legislative Fiscal Office. He did work up on the Hill. He also worked with the Heritage Foundation, and now he's with the Policy Institute doing the numbers thing and helping us to decipher what certain things mean. He wrote a great piece in 1819 News that came out today, and just wanted to bring him on and talk through both state and federal spending. So, hey, Justin, how are you doing today, man?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing well. It's great to be back with you.
Well, thank you. And again, thank you for helping people like me who are not numbers guys to see numbers.
We're trying.
Yeah, I know. Every once in a while I read your stuff and I go, and that's why I'm not an accountant. But you did a great review in 1819. And let's do state first, because I want to talk state and federal with you. But let's just take state first. One of the things that I said in an op-ed, in my monologue, I think it might have been yesterday, was that at some point you would hope that enough would be enough, that they've got enough of our revenue they could give some back. And then, bang, this court ruling came out. Give us the lay of the land on this and why you think maybe there's an opportunity to give some back now.
Sure. And just to give a quick background, so this relates to the stimulus bill that was passed by Congress back in March. Alabama got a $2.1 billion share of that. And one of the kind of weird provisions that was written into this law was that states could not use federal stimulus money to provide a tax break to citizens. And, of course, that was immediately challenged. Alabama joined with 12 other states. And then on Monday, there was a permanent injunction issued by the circuit court out of federal circuit court out of Tuscaloosa, district court. And basically the judge ruled that the federal government could not tell states what they could do with that money. And is basically paving the way for states to be able to use them for tax relief if they'd like to.
All right. So, yeah. So basically the bottom line is that we've received a ton of extra funds in their state coffers as a result of federal relief programs or legislation. And basically you're saying that now the courts have agreed that if we want to use that to give a tax credit or a tax break, you know, to do a tax write-off of some way to our citizens at the state level, that we can do that and use those monies to backfill and it wouldn't be any loss to the state in doing so. Am I right?
Exactly. Basically, the federal order now gives the state permission to do that if they choose to. And, you know, over the past couple years, since COVID hit, there's been $4 billion handed directly to the state through federal stimulus packages. And really with that first batch of $1.9 billion, nothing went back into the private sector. Very, very little went back into the private sector. And what did was kind of whoever the state government chose to give money to. So this is really a great opportunity for state government to take less from the people, to lower some of those tax rates, to find ways to give people a little bit of money back in their pocket, give businesses a hand who are still struggling, recovering from the pandemic. And there's you know, last time they had some excuses that they sort of hid behind. But now with this federal court ruling, there's no reason not to. There's absolutely no excuse for lawmakers not to give some kind of tax relief unless they simply choose not to and would rather build government bigger than it already is.
All right. So let me ask you this. There's with the CARES Act that brought in our first, you know, multi-billion-dollar tranche, and then we have the ARPA legislation. How much money is remaining undedicated that could be used for anything, for that matter, that's still sitting there undedicated at this point?
Yeah, so it looks like it's in the range of $1.6 billion. The big prison construction bill that passed during the special session allocated about $400 million towards to kind of get construction rolling. And then there's been another $80 million or so that's been dedicated towards needs of hospitals and responding to, you know, the ongoing pandemic. But there still should be somewhere around $1.6 billion left that they could pretty much do anything they want to with. And again, our preference would be to see them find ways to take less from the people of Alabama and return some of this federal money to us. Because, you know, I think what's lost on a lot of people, these big numbers, they don't think about it, but this is really our money. This isn't the state's money. It's
That's right.
coming in the form of federal present federal taxes or future taxes and borrowing. So it's really our money, and the state should be doing something to lower our burden because of that.
Well, so, you know, a point in that, and this is both frustrating and affirming, because you and I both helped collaborate last year to put together a proposal for the state from the Alabama Policy Institute that said, hey, with that first tranche through the CARES Act, we said, hey, you got all this money, and we got brick and mortar stores here in Alabama that are hurting because you shut them down for a while. The economy's suffering. Let's get everybody back online. Why don't we give them, and we proposed, I think it was a two-week sales tax holiday. I mean, can you imagine that automatically everything you buy is 4% less or more, depending on whether locals wanted to chime in or not? And all said and done, we proposed it. We had an outside legal opinion for it. We determined that it was definitely feasible, and the governor's office just simply chose not to do it. They did not want to, and they didn't even bother calling the Treasury Department to verify whether they could or not. It appears that this court ruling, while a separate pot of money, seems to imply, though, that they could have done it if they'd wanted to. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right. And we did a lot of research on it, and as you said, we got an outside legal opinion that said it would be allowable under the CARES Act, and there were a number of ways that we could have structured it to make sure that it didn't run afoul of Treasury guidance. And, you know, as you said, they never even called Treasury to inquire about it. So I think it's clear that from the beginning, they had different ideas of how to spend that money. They had already decided that they were going to basically use it to build state government bigger than it already is. And the bottom line is they just didn't want to help the people of Alabama with that money. And that's, you know, kind of that's sad on a lot of levels. But this court decision does just, you know, kind of bolster our case and our claim and build the case for doing it with what's left.
Well, Justin, listen, we got a few minutes here before the break. So I want to, in the tail end of your 1819 article that came out today, 1819news.com, you listed several options that they could consider. It doesn't have to be the only things, but you listed, I think, three options that they could consider right now with those ARPA funds if they wanted to give tax relief to the citizens. And these are things that would benefit, like, lots of people, not just a few. Well, outline those for me real quick in about a two-minute span.
Sure. So, you know, one thing that we've talked about a lot at API is the grocery tax. We've talked about it on your show before, of course. Alabama is one of only three states that still fully taxes groceries. That's something that everybody, you know, needs to live. They have to buy groceries and food items. So they could take a portion of this money, and if they used all of it, they could completely wipe out the grocery tax for 3 years, probably. And you know, we obviously think that should be done permanently, and there's plenty of other money. The state, you know, on top of this, had another $1.2 billion in revenue this year above what they expected. So that's one possibility. The sales tax holiday that we proposed last year, you know, I still think that that's relevant, and that would be a great way, you know, especially leading up into the holidays, to take less from the citizens of Alabama, to help businesses, to get people back in those brick and mortar stores instead of the, you know, Amazon's and Target.com and all of those kind of things. So that's another great way that they could use this money to help everyone in Alabama. And then something that we've talked about is the unemployment taxes. So because of all these COVID-related unemployment claims, the spikes, because of all these extra benefits that people were getting from the federal government, Alabama businesses are actually paying more in unemployment tax now than they were before the pandemic. I think it rose by like 92% last year, so it's pretty significant. So again, with this $1.5 billion or $6 billion that's out there, you could completely do away with unemployment tax for 6 years, or if you didn't want to completely do away with it, you could certainly bring it back down to pre-pandemic levels, and that would help business owners a lot.
Well, I tell you what, Justin, we're going to head into a break right now, but you've really outlined it. The bottom line is this. There is a means and the money right now to give tax relief to the citizens of this state in a meaningful way if the government of Alabama chooses to do so. Well, listen, Justin, can you hang on during the break, man? When we come back, I want to talk about federal spending with the bill that just passed the House today. You good with that?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, absolutely. We're with Justin Bogey, Director of Fiscal Analysis at the Alabama Policy Institute, talking about spending. I mean, it's a spending spree. We need them to give some back to us and stop spending it on things that we didn't ask for. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And by the way, you can follow us on rightsideradio.org by clicking Listen Live, streaming it online, no matter where you are in the world. Like I always say, wherever you is, there we is. Well, listen, hey, we're going back to the phones right now with my friend Justin Bogey. He's the Director of Fiscal Analysis at the Alabama Policy Institute. He's a numbers guy with a great pedigree in deciphering government numbers. And so on this show, Justin, we've been talking quite a bit about the Biden spending plans. We had, the infrastructure bill, $1.25 trillion, I believe, that did pass. Thanks to 13 Republicans in the House and 19 Republicans in the Senate who basically thought it was a great idea to help this spending plan through. But just this morning on Straight Party Lines, after a record in the history of Congress, 8-hour speech by Kevin McCarthy, minority leader, they passed the really, really, really ugly one, which people are calling the reconciliation bill, which is nothing more than a liberal wish list. But talk to me about what you're seeing in this bill that now goes to the Senate. It's not done yet, but it's got some ugly attached to it. Go ahead.
Yeah, and just to give a little more background, a reconciliation bill, really the whole point behind that is to make it easier to pass through the Senate, to limit debate and make it easier to pass unpopular bills. So that gives you any indication of why it's a reconciliation bill. But as the bill stands right now, it's $1.75 trillion in new spending. It's on top of that $1.25 trillion infrastructure bill. It is basically an extension of the social welfare system. Some of the big ticket items in there, universal pre-K for 3- and 4-year-olds, that has a cost of about $400 billion. 4 weeks of paid family leave for all employees. There's $500 billion in here to combat climate change. So really just an expansion of a lot of the left's high priority policy items.
Well, it's just unbelievable. I think one of the things that really gets me, though, too, is the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, came out and scored this thing, and everybody was waiting, and we've been hearing over and over and over again, it will cost zero. In fact, Biden kept saying zero, just zero. And no, it won't cost zero. It's going to increase the deficit by another $500 billion, right? Am I right?
It's about, according to CBO, it's about $370 billion, but not an insignificant number, especially when we've been hearing for, 6 months, however long it's been now, that it would be no new cost. And don't forget, though, that most of that offset, or however you want to look at it, is through new taxes and mostly taxes on wealthier Americans, a lot of people who are business owners and that kind of thing. So it may discourage them from investing in small businesses. All of that money is coming from new taxes, basically.
Well, and I tell you what else is coming from is they estimate, according to Janet Yellen, They estimate that they're going to spend roughly $80 billion on plussing up the IRS, of which right. $79 billion is going to expand their auditing staff. And which what that basically is, they plan to like crazy and go after people and make people's lives miserable and assess them with penalties and back taxes that people never knew were there. And I think one estimate said they hope to recoup upwards of $400 billion in revenues by auditing people's lives and just dragging every penny out of their pockets that they can.
Yeah, and CBO had kind of a footnote for that. They don't count it in their score, but theirs was much lower. Anytime you're trying to claim money from increased enforcement and or recouping, you know, improper payments and that kind of thing, there's usually not as much there to recoup as you think there is. So really, the cost could be even higher.
Well, Justin, and by the way, this is an off-the-wall question. When you spent some time in D.C., did you ever interact with the Congressional Budget Office? I know you work with the Legislative Fiscal Office in Montgomery. Did you ever do any work or interact with the CBO up in D.C. at all?
I did when I was on the Hill. We worked pretty closely with them, especially when we were developing our budget proposals and that kind of thing.
I mean, do you trust their judgments when they come out and say that's only going to increase? I say only increase by $370 billion. Do you think that's accurate?
Well, I think their numbers are certainly more accurate than the Biden administration's numbers. I'll put it that way. But anytime you're
fair.
Talking about trillions of dollars in spending, it's very hard to come up with accurate, you know, very, very precise estimates. So I always tend to err on the side of them. It's going to cost more, it's going to raise the debt more than they think it's going to raise. And, you know, my guess would be that's what will happen if this bill passes.
Yeah, well, I tend to agree. Well, hey, man, we're out of time, but I certainly appreciate you being with us on a Friday afternoon. Thanks for that piece you wrote for 1819news.com this morning. And we'll have you back on more as this thing develops, okay?
Yeah, great to be with you.
All right, that was Justin Bogey, Director of Fiscal Analysis for the Alabama Policy Institute, does great work and got a great resume that lends towards that great work of being able to assess the numbers in government and give us a perspective on what he sees. And the piece that he just wrote this morning that we just talked about at the first part of that segment was that literally there is so much money that has washed into the state through relief plans out of D.C. that there's no reason now why we can't see some going back to the people of the state in the form of a tax cut. Because the court just ruled this week that they could do it. Just this week. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We're going to go to the phones here a little bit. If you want to call in, 866-494-9866. And I got a little bit more on that spending stuff that we'll talk about, too. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.